I felt better when I drove away and didn't particularly mind when the farmer at the first inspection greeted me with a scowl.
"This isn't 1 o'clock, mister," he snapped. "Me cows have been in all afternoon and look at the bloody mess they've made. I'll never get the place clean again."
I had to agree with him when I saw the muck piled up behind the cows. It was one of the snags about housing animals in grass time, and the farmer's expression grew blacker as most of them cocked their tails as though in welcome and added further layers to the heaps. "I won't keep you much longer," I said briskly and began to work my way down the row. Before the tuberculin testing scheme came into being, these clinical examinations were the only means of detecting tuberculous cows, and I moved from animal to animal, palpating the udders for any unusual induration. The routine examinations were known jocularly in the profession as bag snatching or cow punching, and it was a job that soon got tedious. I found the only way to stop myself going nearly mad with boredom was to keep reminding myself what I was there for. So when I came to a gaunt red cow with a pendulous udder, I straightened up and turned to the farmer. "I'm going to take a milk sample from this one. She's a bit hard in the left hind quarter." The farmer sniffed. "Please yourself. There's nothing wrong with her, but I suppose it'll make a job for somebody." Squirting milk from the quarter into a 2-ounce bottle, I thought about Siegfried's veterinary friend who always took a pint sample from the healthiest udder he could find to go with his lunchtime sandwiches. I labelled the bottle and put it into the car. We had a little electric centrifuge at Skeldale House, and tonight I would spin this milk and examine the sediment on a slide after staining by Zeal Nielsen. Probably I'd find nothing, but at times there was the strange excitement of peering down the microscope at a clump of bright red, iridescent TB bacilli. When that happened, the cow was immediately slaughtered, and there was always the thought that I might have lifted the death sentence from some child. The meningitis, the spinal and lung infections which were so common in those days. Returning to the byre, I finished the inspection by examining the wall in front of each cow. The farmer watched me dourly.
"What are you on with now?"
"Well, if a cow has a cough, you can often find some spit on the wall." I had, in truth, found more tuberculous cows this way than any other, by scraping a little sputum onto a glass slide and then staining it as for milk. The modern young vet just about never sees a TB cow, thank heavens, but screws were all too common 30 years ago. There were very few in the high Pennines, but in the low country on the plain you found them. The cows that weren't doing right, the ones with the soft, careful cough and slightly accelerated breathing. Often they were good milkers and ate well, but they were killers, and I was learning to spot them. And there were the others, the big, fat, sleek animals, which could still be riddled with the disease. They were killers of a more insidious kind, and nobody could pick them out. It took the tuberculin test to do that. At the next 4 places I visited, the farmers had got tired of waiting for me and had turned their cows out. They had all to be brought in from the field, and they came slowly and reluctantly. There was nothing like the rodeo I'd had with Mr. K's heifers, but a lot more time was lost. The animals kept trying to turn back to the field while I sped around their flanks like a demented sheepdog, and as I panted to and fro, each farmer told me the same thing, that cows only like to come in at milking time. Milking time did eventually come, and I caught 3 of my herds while they were being milked. But it was after 6 when I came tired and hungry to my second-to-last inspection. A hush hung over the place, and after shouting my way around the buildings without finding anybody, I walked over to the house.
"Is your husband in, Mrs. Bell?" I asked.
"No, he's had to go into the village to get the horse job, but he won't be long afore he's back. He's left cows in for you,"
the farmer's wife replied. That was fine. I'd soon get through this lot. I almost ran into the byre and started the old routine, feeling sick to death of the sight and smell of cows and fed up with pawing at their udders. I was working along almost automatically when I came to a thin, rangy cow with a narrow red and white face. She could be a crossed Shorthorn Ayrshire. I had barely touched her udder when she lashed out with the speed of light and caught me just above the kneecap. I hopped round the byre on one leg, groaning and swearing in my agony. It was some time before I was able to limp back to have another try, and this time I scratched her back and cush-cushed her in the wheedling tone before sliding my hand gingerly between her legs. The same thing happened again, only this time the sharp-edged cloven foot smacked slightly higher up my leg. Crashing back against the wall, I huddled there, almost weeping with pain and rage. After a few minutes, I reached a decision. To hell with her. If she didn't want to be examined, she could take her luck. I had enough for one day. I was in no mood for heroics. Ignoring her, I proceeded down the bar till I had inspected the others. But I had to pass her on my way back, and pause to have another look. And whether it was sheer stubbornness, or whether I imagined she was laughing at me, I don't know. But I decided to have just one more go. Maybe she didn't like me coming from behind. Perhaps if I worked from the side, she wouldn't mind so much.